Let me just set the table for those listening this morning with WDKX and the water cooler. Al Parisi is here. We just had him in for the first segment this morning, talking a little bit about our current topic right now. So is Willie Lightfoot, member of City Council. Good morning, Willie. How you feeling today, sir?
Hey, positive energy, positive vibes. Good morning.
Anthony Washington is also here, as well as somebody who is a rent. He does not speak for all landlords. He just speaks from his account. Good morning, Anthony. How are you?
I'm all right. Doing pretty good today. How you doing?
Pretty good. Now, there's good cause eviction discussion. I do know that there will be a virtual discussion with it on Thursday, Willie. Can you sort of give an overview of what's going on? Because City Council is voting on this bill next week.
Yes, yes. There is a Neighborhood and Business Development Introductory Number 94, amending the municipal code with respect to provision of eviction without a certificate of occupancy or a good cause. So this is brought forth by three council members, two new council members, and the current council vice president. And there will be a community meeting that will be held as a result of this as well. And, you know, we're there. It's somewhat controversial.
Yep. Now, it comes in on so many different accounts of people. I just want to remind people that City Council will be hosting a virtual public hearing on this bill Thursday. For those that are interested in hearing it, want to be a part of it, you have to email council@cityofrochester.gov, or you can call this number 585-428-7538. 428-7538. No later than 1 p.m. on the day of the event, which would be on Thursday, as I said before, if you want to get in on it.
Tariq, can I ask the councilman just a quick question? Is, should people, because I get confused, should people be living in houses that don't have a certificate of occupancy from the City of Rochester?
I think that there are instances where I think that there are people who are living, of course, clearly in these places. I believe every place, every person should, every business should have a certificate of occupancy. But there are incidences and situations where they're kind of stuck between repairs and doing things, where there may be instances where people are in between the process of getting a new CFO, where people are living in those facilities.
Anthony, I wanted to get your thoughts on this as somebody who is a landlord. What have you been dealing with for the last, I don't know, 2 years, almost 2 years? Since the pandemic, even before that?
Well, I've dealt with an awful lot of different variety of things. It feels like somewhat of an act of God clause that affected us as landlords. We have no way of collecting money. We have people who've just simply stopped paying as soon as they announced the pandemic that came in. And also getting CFOs, the paperwork was bogged down along. You know, it was really tough for us to move the process along. And you know, you just asked a question of the councilman about should people have them. You know, there's a variety of different things that could hold up a CFO. Some could be so minor. In a sense, not that it was something that is life-threatening or catastrophic, but it still had to be something that you had to comply to make sure that it was, you know, all around the board, good for the tenant as well as your property, keeping it up to the city codes as well, you know, so...
Now, let me ask you a question. Has it all been negative? Is it some positive? What do the other landlords say? Like, I know you don't speak for all of them. You can only speak for your experience. But has it been a situation where there are people paying rent, there are people doing the right thing, and then there are others that are not paying the rent totally and are just abiding and waiting for some legislation to come from behind?
Right, and you're right. There's been people who have paid, but then, again, when you make this your business, it really hurts you all around the board, because it only takes that one, because now you have no more resources to even go in to fix the repairs, and they're putting they want to put a cap on everything, but they haven't put a cap on the materials. They didn't put a cap on the gas prices, back and forthness. They didn't put a cap on you know, just everything that the contractors, like, they all get to charge more money. And honestly, when you get a good contractor, you actually have to pay a little more because he's a good contractor. Mm. And then so there's no cap for that. And then you're not the same as the big boys. you know, because they got 10,000 units or whatever the amount is. But you're a small guy, you know, a corner, kind of like a corner store competing against a Wegmans. You know, you're not getting the same. The laws are going to be different for us versus someone else because it's going to be. It's like they're trying to do a reset or something like that of the economy and just wipe us out as small people here. You know.
Yeah, you know what? Can I ask a councilman another question? Is like the cost of eggs is going from $1 to $4, right? Mm-hmm. Inflation, no question, is crazy, right? Would now be the time to do rent control in the city of Rochester because people seem as though the rents keep rising. And I understand everybody's cost goes up. The eggs went from $1 to $4, right? Would now be a good time to do some form or at least examine rent control, in your opinion, Councilman, in the city of Rochester?
Well, first and foremost, I just want to say that, you know, I want to commend the current administration, Mayor Evans, for putting together a task force, because I think you have to be very, very careful about going into these types of major decisions that can have unintended consequences that could last for decades. And I want to remember and bring people's attention back. We've studied that. We had a rental vacancy study, which came back and said that we didn't have that issue and of the vacancy as a rate as most people thought we were going to have, and that it didn't see the reason for having that rent stabilization as what you're talking about. So that was a study that was already done. People didn't like it, you know what I mean? And they kind of challenged the particular people that were giving the study, but nonetheless, and that study was done, and it didn't say that Rochester was in the same situation that other cities are. You'll hear people talk about this, and they will reference other communities and other cities, but we have to remember that Rochester is a city in its unique self, and it may not fit or be in the same situation that another city may be in.
I'm gonna ask Willie for a second there. When it comes to situations where rent hasn't been paid, so say for example somebody owes in rent, I don't know, $20,000, you know, $25,000, $30,000, whatever it may be. What cause do they have? Because I know that there was a lot of different things we were talking about here at the station, trying to get landlords and tenants to fill out back rent. So there was money available, or has been money available, for landlords and tenants to try to get the back rent hit by the pandemic. I know that's been something that we've been pushing for a long time. Obviously, people do it, don't do it, it doesn't matter. But what is the situation, do you know, of people that are landlords, everyday people, not somebody that's got some big name like Tony was saying before, everyday people like him that are behind and are in a deep hole and cannot get out other than either raising rent or getting new tenants?
Yeah, see, Tariq, that's what makes the thing so very lopsided, you know, because we hear a lot about state helping to support services for tenants. And I'm the first one that would say good quality housing is a human right, of course, and that everyone should have affordable quality housing. I've been on the side of both. I've been a renter and I'm a homeowner. And so I've been in both positions, and I'm also a landlord. And I will say that the thing about that's troubling about this particular legislation is that it doesn't take into account exactly what you just said. And I often look at this as it relates to violence in our community. If we have 9% of the streets that are causing 90% of the violence, why would we paint a broad brush and put up a piece of legislation that would infect and impact the whole entire community? And we need to look at the subset or the small amount of folks, because they're just like, there are good tenants, there are good landlords. Mm-hmm. And why would we paint a broad brush that would impact the good guys, you know, the good people, the tenants that are paying their rent, the folks? Because here's what I believe ultimately this could cause. Because if you look at the legislation, if you read the legislation, it's to evict responsible paying tenants without cause and with little notice. Now, I would question, how many actual responsible paying tenants are being evicted? I think that's problematic by itself. And destabilization of families and entire neighborhoods, that this could cause displacement. Now, we're in a housing market boom right now. You know, my mother just lived in Aranaque, sold her house for almost three times as much as she bought. People are, if you create a situation where you make it more difficult on the landlords and they cash out and they say, okay, we just can't afford to do this anymore, we're going to cash out, and you create more vacant properties, or you create properties that go on the market, being sold, potentially turned into homes as opposed to rental properties, and then now you're going to create more of a renter housing shortage for those in need, and now you're creating a more opportunity potentially for more displacement and for people being homeless.
And I'd like to respond to that too as well.
Yeah, and you know what though, can I just say, Councilman, so I understand it. You're saying Rochester doesn't have the problem with respect to rent control, so that rent control should not be in effect in the city of Rochester. And then the second thing you seem to be saying is there's plenty of good quality housing because it's a human right in Rochester. There's plenty of good quality housing for renters to get in the city of Rochester. Are you on the ground? And how sure of that are you?
You said that. I didn't say that.
You said good quality housing is a human right.
I said everyone it should have good quality housing. That's
it's a human right. You're exactly. saying it's a human right. Correct?
Exactly. I don't believe that this legislation gets us to what you're saying. That's the point. We're talking about this legislation. We're not talking about pie in the sky. We're not talking about theories or people's opinions. We're talking about this legislation, introductory number 94. I don't think gets us to having better quality housing. I don't think it gets us to having more of a stock of housing for people to live in. I don't think it gets us to rent stabilization. I don't think it gets us to any of those. This legislation, introductory number 94, is what we're talking about today.
Specifically this one.
Right. We're talking about introductory number 94. That's what I'm here to talk about.
Councilman, you've been in office for quite a long time. If good quality housing is a human right, what do we need to do in order to get there? Because we're not there in the city of Rochester.
I think we're if we really want to get to the root of the problem, which part of it is when all of this goes back, a lot of it tends to go back to poverty, right? And it tends to go, we want most of us want to see better housing as well, and we want to see more generational wealth in dealing with poverty. I believe that part of the we would need to look at is education around home ownership, because I really believe that if we educate people properly, we'll have more people wanting to be homeowners than wanting to be renters. They're not that far away from being a homeowner. And I don't think we put enough emphasis in home ownership, but we talk about poverty like it's going out of style. But how are we really going to get out of poverty and talk about generational wealth if we don't talk about ownership? Why does renting have to be the way to go? To me, that's a poverty mentality. And so I think I want to go above the poverty mentality and start educating our community on ownership. People want us to rent, because they want us to keep their hand on our neck and want us not to get to where they are. I'm saying to the community, we need to start thinking about owning the property that you live in. We need to think about how do you become a homeowner. You're not that far off, especially if you're saying your rents are high. If you look at what it costs to own a house, it might be cheaper than what you're paying in rent. So that's a subject. That's a whole nother subject. I think enforcement is also something that we already have books on the law, laws on the books already. And the problem is they're not being properly enforced. So I think we need to be properly enforcing what's currently laws that are to hold those bad landlords accountable. And then there needs to be support services for both. Because right now, when people call me right now and they go, I'm having issues with my property. I mean, where do they go? I mean, you know, we have a few agencies, but it's very difficult to navigate when you're having issues with a landlord, and or if you're a landlord and you're having issues with your tenant. Where do you, like, those support services need to be better, right? Introductory number 94 doesn't get us there. It doesn't solve those types of issues and problems. We're going to have those same. How are you going to enforce introductory number 94? How are you going to enforce it if you're already having issues enforcing the current laws on the books now? That's the real question.
Hold on, Al. I want to get Anthony back in the conversation, because Anthony, you had something you wanted to say.
Yeah, you know, I'm in that condition position at this point. I mean, actually, we had one tenant who was evicted and owed us over $25,000 in rent, and you know, they got all the checks, they got everything, and at this point, we had bad blood between us, because, you know, they're not paying us, and we're not friends anymore on those levels, and not that we were friends in the beginning, they were renting a place, and so now they passed legislation, or they pass a law that says that we can collect so much money on back rent, and they're refusing to sign it. And then so you go through your attorneys to see if their attorney will get them to sign it, and then they still refuse. And then they go to court, and then at the end they try to appeal it to see if they can get some help for rent. But the judge saw through that, thank God, because that was a $30,000 in the hole. And then I have the other place that I have, I posted on Facebook, I got over 1,000 hits just looking at the terrorization they did to the home. There was over $16,000 to $17,000 in damage that was done. Now, I can go to Delta Sonic out in Irondequoit, and you notice their prices are 30 cents higher on almost all the items because of the theft or whatever they have to suffer financially. They offset those costs based on whatever they're feeling in that community. So if you go to Henrietta, you're going to see the price, or Webster, you're going to see the gas price is a lot cheaper. They're hitting them at the pump. They're hitting on items on the shelf. So I have a $17,000 at least minimum damage in the house out in Webster. And now I have to try to fix it up and then take the security deposit and apply that to all of it. And even if I go to court,
There's no guarantee. You're going to get a judgment.
But then there's no guarantee, and I beg everyone to go on Anthony Washington and look at it, the Facebook post that I put there, because there were thousands of people that looked at it, and they all commented, and I can guarantee you, you're going to be horrified just by seeing the damages. And
now, I don't mean to cut you off, Ed. I got to take a quick break here, but I just want to make sure that we're all on the same sort of level here, where we're hearing from people. Tenants can call in, text in 678-1039. Share your stories as well. I know full well that there is a complete circle here that Al is talking about, that Anthony's talking about, that Willie is talking about, and that we all get this discussion out so that we can actually go through people who are doing the system right and the people that are doing the system wrong.
Definitely.
Because there's wrong on both ends here. I'm not going to get into percentages on who is more wrong than the other, because that's just a debate that you can't win and we won't know. But we've got to find a better way to keep people that need housing, but they don't destroy the property or prevent the landlord from trying to keep the property, because that could sell out of town. And a number of people don't want that, because that leads to gentrification.
Right. And I think one of the great things is, like the councilman said, is I get called in when a little boy touches exposed electrical wires and it gets electrocuted and his heart stops. Right. And what I'm saying is, and that's where I go into the housing and I wind up suing the landlord in a premises liability case. That's what I do. Now, councilman, are they free to call
Let me take a quick break, Al, because I got to take a break. I got no choice on this one. WDKX to the Wake Up Club, 1022. Good morning. All right. So this is one of the interesting things. Over the last few years or so, Willie, would you not agree? There have been a lot of programs. You talked about them on the show. That have given people different opportunities if they want to be homeowners, different programs that are available, whether they want to live in the city, all the different things. Have you heard of this before or no?
Yeah, it seemed like I've heard of the Rochester Housing Authority having a program in regards to helping to people to get to home ownership. So I would reach out to them. But Tariq, this is one of the issues that, you know, is constantly a problem to me within, which is a part of the broken system as it relates to housing. Everyone will ask that question. Where is the one place that you call to get those types of answers? And I think that that's something that you have to allow this new task force that the mayor has put together to come up with a recommendation of how do we better that system of getting people the answers to questions like that. But when it comes to you know, I'm going back a little bit to the affordable housing, I want to remind people that under the previous administration, over $1 billion has been put towards affordable housing. $1 billion in this community, in Rochester. You guys see all of the various apartments and things that are going up all over the city, east side, west side, north side. I've been a part of that, and council has been a part of that, of trying to equal the level of the playing field and scales as it relates to affordable housing. So we can't build fast enough. We're building affordable housing, and we spent over $1 billion in doing it. But the fact of the matter is, we also got to look at, they need to be paying people more, wages need to go up. You know, I mean, we're really going to start addressing all of these issues. We can't just look. 94 doesn't get us where we're trying to go. That's my only point I'm trying to tell you. It's a much more complex issue, and it's wages, it's affordable housing, building more, it's enforcement, it's education, it's all of the above. And then before we end, I'd like to tell you that we've got, and I've sent it to DKX, and you guys can post this on your Facebook page. There's a legal opinion by the city law department that basically says that this legislation will put us in a very, very tough legal position to what we have amount of lawsuits and things. And I've given you that document, and I want you to place that document out there so people can have informed decisions and really see the impact that this could have on our community.
This is a very long conversation, Al. This is not one of those we can solve this in a half hour at the water.
Right.
It's interesting that the councilman, I think, you know, his constituency, I don't have any doubt at all that they would be in favor of rent control. I think it's interesting he's going against it because he doesn't think this is the right legislation, and he should know because, you know, he's read it, he's done his research. And he doesn't think this is the right legislation. But what I would ask him is, please put forth something so that we can have rent control in the city of Rochester. Because a lot of people right now simply are being forced out of the rental market because they can't afford where they're living.
That's why
I'm saying. I think that this should have waited for the task force to complete and come up with their recommendations, right? Okay. Let me tell you this, Al, because you said something that I'm not for rent control. I've been renting for 20 years in my building, right? I have a two one-bedroom apartments. When I rented, it was $1 per square foot, 450 square foot. I've been charging $450 for a one-bedroom apartment for 20 years. I've never gone up on my rent. You can ask any of my tenants that. So I'm not talking about what you think about me. This is what I do. My rent's been stabilized for 20 years. But you know what? I've had a hard time paying my taxes. I've had a hard time paying my bills because I should be going up on my rent because everything else has gone up. Everything else has gone up, right? Mm. But my rent has been stable for 20 years. And as a landlord and as a business owner, I've suffered. And money has cut to come out of my own pocket to pay my bills. Is that fair? Is that right? Is that good business? And is that going to encourage business for other people to do business in our city? No.
And all landlords.
Can everybody afford to do that?
But all landlords don't own their property outright as well. I mean, some landlords, they have a mortgage on their property. They're doing it because they're trying to invest in the future. They're trying to create the generational wealth that we talk about, because sometimes you have to maybe finance a property or do something with it just to have that property. And then once it's paid off, it could go next to the next generation. So you have a cost on top of a cost, and then you have to go back and fix up these properties. So it's not like a simple a task. But another thing I wanted to mention, too, you know, I do believe the system is working perfectly because it was designed to make sure that we couldn't get ahead. And that's why the system is in place right now. If it was broke, they would be trying to fix it. But they're not trying to fix it. They're trying to leave it as is, or actually taint it a little more so that people who could and maybe possibly buy, because I believe the path to ownership is a key. You know, because if you own that property, I guarantee you, you're going to fix up the yard. I guarantee you, you're not going to put trash outside. I guarantee you, you're going to look for grants, whatever the city's providing to be able, and cities will probably give you more. Because now you got a landlord who owns 100 properties here. They hire a property management company. They go on lunch break all the time. They send pictures back from last week on how the lawn looks and everything else. And now the neighborhood looks bad. And they're not even really really caring about it because they get a check every single month. And that's really what they care about.
Yeah.
Right.
That's how neighborhood associations are built. That's how they get together. They all own the neighborhood. They all want the neighborhood to look good and go to and work together so that it becomes a community. So the phone lines, you go text in 678-1039. You can call in 222-1039. WDKX, hello?
Yes. I'm calling in to comment about the landlord-tenant issue that
people who are, and they come in, they buy the property, they don't live here, they're not invested. You deal with them as much as this lady's just talking about.
Oh, exactly right. Like, see, the councilman is a responsible landlord, and if everybody was a responsible landlord, there would be none of these problems. But what happens is most of the slip and fall to the accident cases or the electrocution cases that I get of people getting hurt in the properties are out-of-state landlords. They own 100 properties. They run exactly what you said. A property management company from Rochester is managing them. You can't even find who the owner is. It's like almost impossible. And in these, and they raise the rent whenever they want to. So in these situations, which is a majority of the city of Rochester, this is what people are up against. And I agree. The number one answer is home ownership. The councilman cares about his properties. He's going to make sure. And look, he hasn't raised rent at his own cost, right? Unfortunately, in the city of Rochester, though, I would say that his ownership, people that look like him and own those properties, are in the minority. And most of them are these out-of-state landlords that really don't care.
Well, Al, what I'm going to say, though, is 94, this legislation we're looking at and that we're talking about and that brought us up here and talk about today, I believe will have unintended consequences and will, and those few that you're talking about, it will back out, sell out, and we already have a few. And those are the ones who are contacting me. Those few that look like me, that's saying, mm-hmm. Willie, this is going to run me out of business. And we already have a few. And African-Americans already are behind the eight ball when it comes to being in business and things of that nature as it relates to other populations. And so now you're going to push those few, which are the good guys. A lot of them are the good guys. You're going to push them back to the guys who are out of town because they're going to cash out. I'm telling you, they're going to cash out, and you're going to push those guys. The big guys are going to buy those places, and you're going to create more of a problem. This doesn't get us to fixing the problem. That's my point.
Right, and that's why the system's working. It's working perfectly fine. They know that. These are studies. People go in, and they do studies on these things. So it's not a day that this just came up. This was actually researched, and they came in. They developed all the skyscrapers in Rochester, put in new housing, and that increased the amount that the rents went up on the averages. Now, it's not those are the averages. We're dealing with averages. We're not dealing with the owners who really just been here for 20 years of these properties. I mean, we increase our properties modestly because we know the tenants that we're dealing with have restrictions. They didn't come home with a new job with $20,000 a year income. They didn't come home with Section 8 increasing their Section 8 or their social services doesn't increase them, you know, $400 a month and a lot of money for rent. So these people we deal with on a daily basis, but then you go down by Chase Building, they got beautiful buildings, they got the Buckingham buildings, they got all these condos, and those are $1,700 to $2,400 a month for the same size apartments. Mm-hmm. Then you take the $1,100 house, and then you average them, and now you got a $1,600, and now the rent from New York, the person who owns the place in New York says, hey, rent went up $400. I better comply to what's the norm. He's only seeing what's the norm on paper. He doesn't know what, and he knows he doesn't have a top-notch apartment, but he still has to look at, man, I did this for an investment. I didn't do this just for any other reason. This is an investment for me. So that's what we're comparing.
And let's go after that guy. Let's go after that guy that this lady's talking about, and others have that same issue. Let's fix the system where we're able to enforce what we already have, and let's put that guy in jail. That's where that guy belongs to be. That guy belongs to be in jail. Anybody that's doing that to people belongs to be in jail. And that's an enforcement issue, process issue. But I'm just going to be, you know, staying on my position that 94 doesn't get us there. It doesn't solve those problems.
Well, I got to tell you,
when you're talking about the downtown buildings and things like that, I was so proud, Councilman, that you voted against writing a police accountability board rent check of $600,000
to rent stabilization.
One of those downtown landlords when the city has plenty of places that police accountability board could have went. That showed your heart and that showed your caring for the community.
Thank you, Al. Now think about this, Al. The same individuals, look at who voted for that and who's introducing this. Just really make that connection. Okay, so if it's really about stabilizing rent, if it's really about doing bettering people's quality of life who are underserved, underprivileged, etc., then draw the lines, okay? Because they don't add up.
Right, and they are lines. They're red lines.
Those WZKX, the wake up.
Those are red lines.
We're at the water cooler. Listen, 20 minutes for the top of the hour. Wrap up this discussion coming up in a matter of moments. I like to hear all different points of view. If you are a renter, I'd like to hear from you. Text or call 678-1039. I want to remind people there's a virtual, it's virtual, it's not in person, virtual meeting going on Thursday, talking a little bit about that. And I believe next week, Tuesday, City Council will be voting on this going forward. So let them know. Let them know how you feel. Find out who's on what side of what, because that's how this goes down. Because this is a vote. Next week, Tuesday, Willie, that's going to be hidden?
Yes.
All right. Let us know what you think. Text or call 678-1039 at the WDKX water cooler. WDKX having a very frank discussion on evictions, a very frank discussion on just cause for these evictions, rental property, home ownership. We even brought up the fact of living wage, Willie. We brought up the fact that people are not making a living wage right now.
Mm-hmm. Education, enforcement, support services. Those are the things that I'm advocating for. I hope that this new task force that the mayor put forth, we should be looking at those things. Education around the whole housing issue. Remember, we put billion dollars in affordable housing in the city, and we're still doing it. Enforcement, support services on both sides to tenants and landlords. We have to make this equal. But again, folks, know that I'm not against people having quality, affordable housing. I provide that.
Mm-hmm. The other thing too, Al, you've talked about this before, suing people or landlords who are not invested within this community. So it looks like this discussion is now turned into how do we buy back Rochester when it comes to property?
Oh, no question. And like I said, we do it every day. You can always call us at 888-8000. If you're injured, car accident, slip and fall. If you're injured in a house that doesn't have, I had a ceiling fan fall on an individual. I had to hunt that owner down in California. I had to serve that California owner. And then I had to serve the property management company too. I sued them as well because this child was forever injured as a result of a ceiling fan falling down on their head. So that's the part that I see and that I'm working with. And I'm glad to hear the councilman saying he wants to work towards getting people to understand where to call. For now, you call the mayor's office of constituent services if you have those electrical wires hanging out of your house. The councilman thinks that's a good place to call. That's a great starting point. You call the mayor's office of constituent services. You tell them about your housing, and God willing, they reply. But I like the councilman taking this up and saying that good quality housing is, in fact, a human right, because he's absolutely right.
We've also heard from renters. We appreciate you through our front line, 678-1039. You can do it on the app as well, leave an open mic comment. Anthony, I want you to get your comments in quickly before we wrap up. As from the landlord perspective of being squeezed in some situations, you even said earlier on in the show, there are great tenants and you have people that pay rent and it's no problem, not at all, but you've also had some nightmares as well.
Yes, and being squeezed actually is what's going on. Right now, you know, I'm considering selling properties. And when I first got into it, it was based on me saying, I want to create generational wealth. I want to make sure that I could pass something on that, you know, my grandkids and everybody else could possibly enjoy from. But I can't really see that right now because, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, how to get us to do more with less. And less is already there. We're in a bad position. I don't know what the millionaires and the billionaires are doing. I just know that on my level, you know, they're wanting me to do more with less, and it's just not possible. Mm-hmm. So, and I really haven't had any help. Like, you know, if you have friends and everything in the city and everything else, I've personally never had help. I've tried a lot of different times to go in and ask for different things, and then I just get looked upon as like, you know, what is he doing here? It's like my voice isn't being heard, and this is probably the first time I even had a voice based on this, you know?
Yeah, well, that's why we have this discussion. I think we got to hear from all aspects. And the other part of this, Willie, before you go, I wanted to get in this. There was this discussion before we got on the air. We were having a discussion about not all tenants feel this way, but, oh, Willie, you got it. Oh, Anthony, you got it, or whatever it is you got. No, a lot of people are not in that position, in that situation where they have it and can afford to lose 2, 3, 5, 10 months of rent, go rent free, they don't have it, and they get pushed, like Anthony said, to a situation where they might have to sell the property, and now you're dealing with somebody out of town who doesn't care and is just looking to get more money out of it, hence gentrifying the location. So it's a really tough situation, Willie, when you talk about somebody who thinks you just got it and can just basically take that L every month.
Tariq, I almost went broke. I almost went bankrupt a few years ago. They were going to sell my property on the steps of the county building through foreclosure because I couldn't keep tenants in there because of where I am on Jefferson Avenue. I couldn't almost afford to pay my taxes due to selling our taxes to a third party, ATF, which was they were like loan sharks, 50 cents on the dollar, and it was ridiculous. That's one of the first things myself, Councilman McGruber, worked together to stop happening for us selling our tax liens away. That was killing people and killing businesses. And so I almost and you know who were the main people that were lining up? And you know, not to throw anyone out there, but there were people that didn't look like me. I put it like that, who were lining up to offering for my building, looking for me to go foreclosure and purchase it in foreclosure. Look, and they were people that were not from this community, didn't look like me. And so, had I not took out of my retirement, I had to reach into my retirement money to pay my bills, refinance everything I have to do, to get caught up and to be able to do what I needed to do so I can continue to provide affordable, quality housing for people in my community and businesses that are also spawned out of my building. And because there's a barbershop, there's an office, and there's a restaurant. So these are businesses that help provide it. But I'm doing it at a rate that the same rate I was doing it 20 years ago. Okay. And so as a business owner, that's not good business practice. We got to fix that, because and I want to work with individuals to fix that. I just don't think this gets us there. That's my only point. We don't need to address those issues. Of course, they need to be addressed. And of course, we need to deal with them. But we need to let the task force be able to work together and deal with this. And I want to say this off topic real quickly is we just had $100 million. $100 million given to us over by the governor for the Inner Loop project. I wanted to pause, take a minute to thank the Honorable David Gant, Assemblyman Gant, because with his study that he put forth, made that possible for us to be able to do that. And so I wanted to pause because in all of the news reports, no one mentioned that. And I think that's important that we remember that that was one of the last things he did before he left here. And rest in peace, Honorable David Gant. But he helped to get that money going and for that Inner Loop North project, which is going to be transformable.
I didn't know that. Now I do. And I appreciate you letting us know and the community know that that's how long it takes to fight to get things done within our community. 103.9 WDKX, The Wake Up Club. Good morning.